Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. Hey, listen, I've got a few things that I want to share this morning, and I'm hoping this morning comes off more like a necklace, like a string of precious stones rather than some random association of thought, you know? So they're going to be kind of linked together. So picture a necklace that has a clasp, like a golden clasp on either end, and then a silk thread that runs through a string of precious stones, jasper, sapphire, emerald, topaz, amethyst. And I got those stones not from any other source than the scripture out of Revelation, but I'll limit the number of precious stones to 5 this morning. And I want to imagine that this is what we, as the bride of Christ, are adorned with, as described in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's Revelation 21, 2, where he says, "I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." And then it goes on to talk about these precious stones and whether they're related to like the 12 apostles, as it says in Revelation, or as the Lord kind of inspired my thought here this morning to consider, these are things that we can adorn ourselves with in the way of truths. And so what I want you to do is I want you to imagine these gold clasps. They're the truths that lock this together. And the first one is this golden clasp over here, is that humankind, you and I, we have lost our way and we're in need of a rescue. So that's the one clasp over here on this end. And the second clasp over here on this end is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has sought you out and offers you a life restored. So these are the two clasps that lock together to give us something to kind of hang off of here. And the string, the silk string that runs through all of this, is much of what we sang about this morning. And it's this. It's the love of the Father. The silk thread that runs through all of this is the love of the Father. Not God, the angry dictator. Not God, the distant judge. Not even God, the observant deity. No, God, the strong, benevolent, extravagant, and confident family Father. Family of sons and daughters who find their identity and their sense of value in his love. This is the string that runs through the gems that I'm about to lay down, okay? And so the first one, this jasper. I want to just call it that because I like the word and it's beautiful. And it reminds me of what the Lord had put on my heart to share with you as the first gem of remembrance that we can adorn ourselves with. And it's this: heaven is your home. Heaven is your home. I'm going to have several scriptures that I'm going to run through here this morning. It's one thing to get creative and kind of wax elegant with metaphor and poetry, which I enjoy doing, as long as it's really founded in the truth of God's word. And so if you are looking at a digital Bible and you wish you knew the Wi-Fi password for NCCF, I'm going to tell it to you right now. The secret is coming out. It's Isaiah 63. Now, if you can spell that, then you're on track. All right, not NCCF Sanctuary, but NCCF. Isaiah 63. If you have a Bible, then you can turn to it as well. It's Colossians 3, verse 1. So here we are. We're imagining this this gem. It's a truth that we adorn ourselves with as the people of God, who make herself ready for her bridegroom King, Jesus. In Colossians 3, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ..." So he's speaking of followers of Jesus. He's speaking of people who have had a life exchange with Jesus. They have recognized the two golden clasps. They need a rescue, and they go to him for that rescue. "If you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth." And so I wanted to recap just something that I shared with you a couple of weeks ago. I went to Kansas City and I spent 12 hours with my friend before he passed away. And so I got there at 6 p.m. and I stayed through the night, and at 5:22, he breathed his last breath. And for about 10 hours, and I won't recap the entire vision that I experienced, the Lord showed me my friend Gary in his most true state as a spiritual being. He was magnificent. His body laying before me, every breath was a gasp, a fight. And for 10 hours, even though I was interacting with family and friends and just moving around the room, there was this vision that was imposed on all of this where I got to see Gary's spirit man, larger than his physical body, which was racked, you know, full of cancer, dying. And his body was giving up his spirit. And the Father says, "I'm preparing him for the transition. This is going to take some hours." So at 5:22, after he breathes his last breath, I was there with his wife, Debbie, and his son, Chris. And as I imagined in this vision was like his spirit being like moving up into his spirit man. Once that last bit happened, he and the two angels that had been standing guard with him, like an honor guard, holding space for his spirit to transition. And I remembered the scripture where it says Jesus gave up his spirit. And so I remember seeing Gary and the two angels just move out so fast, and they entered into a space, and it was just in my mind and in my heart, but I felt like it was a glimpse. It was like the blinds of a window were open just for a second and closed, and what I saw in that glimpse was packed full of vibrancy and life and power and goodness, and it was heaven. And I just got to see that just for a nanosecond. And as I'm seeing this, his son literally says the words, "Papa's not here anymore. His spirit just left." And I was like, whoa, this is so incredible. And I cannot convey to you what I experienced in that moment because it feels packed with eternity. But I can say this, that it was chocked full of delight. And Gary was being ushered in to a processional that was honor-filled. It was just so magnificent. And so we keep this in our imagination and in our thoughts. We have our mind set on things above and not on things on the earth. And we do this in a way where we keep our heads in heaven while our feet are firmly planted on the earth. As Paul says, "For me to live is Christ." It would be awesome if I were to go to heaven, he says. It would be my gain. But for me to live is Christ, which means that we do not dissociate from the realities of life on the earth. We are, however, allowed to imagine and to set our hearts and our minds on the things of heaven so that our attitudes and our responses here on the earth, here and now, are impacted by that reality of heaven. It's kind of like, let me see if I can remember this off the cuff. You know your mind is set on things above when you hear yourself saying things like, My life here can be challenging and difficult. In fact, you might even be more of a complainer than that and be like, my life here really stinks. But I have this hope in God. I have this. So it's kind of like, what comes after the but? So if it's like God loves me and I know all the right answers, but my life here on earth is really challenging and difficult, then you've got your mindset on things on the earth. And so just let that kind of be a little filter for you to hear yourself talk sometimes. Because what we are encouraged to do is let our hearts and our minds be fixed on things above. And so what that does then, thinking on things above, it really does embolden our faith. All right, so that's the first gem, okay? That heaven is our home. The second gem is a sapphire. And I just want to simply say it this way. You are more than you appear. To yourself and to others, you're more than you appear to yourself. You're more than you appear to others. You are more. And Colossians, again, in chapter 3, verse 3, let's go there. It says that you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. There's going to be a revealing of the sons of God that you and I, because remember the silk thread that runs through this is God is a father and we're his family. There's a revealing of the sons of God that is glorious. And one of the things that I got to see when I was with Gary was this magnificent spirit man of who he really is. Now, this played into how I began to see myself and to see others around me even more coming home from Kansas City after spending that time with Gary. To the tune that a week later, we went back to Kansas City for his memorial. And the memorial was honoring. It was wonderful. There were so many facets to our little weekend out in Kansas City during the memorial. And one of them was a significant, like, I don't know, just a visit that we had with our dear friend Monette. And Monette is another deep, long-term family friend that has meant so much to us. And unless the Lord comes with a miracle to completely heal her body, she is dying of cancer. She's at the point now in her, like, her journey of cancer that she's done. She's completely, like, worn out. Her heart and her body are ready to go to heaven. She was a little bit upset that Gary beat her there when I talked to her. Now, I don't know what that stirs in you. For some of you, it might stir this compassion where you're just like, Lord, let it go quick and easy. For others of you, it stirs a compassion where you're like, Jesus, heal her. I'm good with that. I'm still praying for her healing, her restoration. She is a tall tree in the kingdom. I mean, this woman has cast a shade for people to come and find rest for many, many years. And a lot of people have been impacted by her life. Amazing. She's strong. I mean, I could tell you stories of this woman's like strength, inner and outer strength. And when we were visiting with her, she was really, really frail. Tiny. To the point where you couldn't really hug her because her bones might break. And the Lord showed me a picture of who she is in the spirit. And she was adorned, I don't know how to describe it other than bridal battle array. I don't know how that reconciles, but it does. Because she was incredibly beautiful. And she was fierce. She was strong and gentle. She was confident. And while I'm looking at her body in this state, I'm seeing her in the spirit, and she's magnificent. The metaphor that we can grab hold of is in Colossians 3, verse 10. And I'm going to read it out of the message. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new life is custom made by the Creator with His label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. And so the metaphor of putting on the new self carries with it an invitation to first see yourself differently, and then you can act how you really are. So again, this gem, this sapphire is, you are more than you appear. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is a very familiar passage, it makes it clear that you and I, when we yield to the rescue of Jesus, that we're a new creation and the old is gone and the new has come. And so the encouragement to put on this new self, this unique and custom designed person that you are in Christ, it's not a challenge to become Christ-like through behavior modification. No, it's not that. It's more the challenge to unbelieve what my friend recently told me this week. You unbelieve the illusion of who you think you are through the old filter of your mistakes and your dysfunctions and your brokenness and your trauma. All of that creates sort of like a filter of how you see yourself. And so you have to unbelieve that. That's an illusion. It's not true. It's not who you really are. The old is gone. The old wardrobe is obsolete. It's no longer, it's ill-fitting. It doesn't work anymore. And so here we have this thing where you take off the old self before you're receiving the new, and that's the process of being like saved. That's the process of being sanctified in Christ. And so it's okay, as my friend said, to become disillusioned with yourself. If that means giving up the illusion of who you think you are, that is not founded in the truth, but rather in a false belief. You can be disillusioned with yourself, and it's okay. You can actually come to terms with the fact that false belief no longer defines you. In the same way, we can rightly become disillusioned with the church, even. If we hold this false belief that the church is going to meet some need that only God can meet, we can become disillusioned with other people if that means that we're going to let go of the expectations that they can somehow meet our deepest needs that only God can meet. You see what I'm saying here? We can become disillusioned. Like the illusion is that they can meet our needs. The illusion is that the church and the systems of religion can meet our needs. The illusions are that anything other than God can meet our needs, or the illusions are that we're something that God says we're not, you know? And so we can become disillusioned with that. And so this proper disillusionment is actually repenting of idolatry. Since our false beliefs are setting something or someone up higher than God, that's idolatry. So to let those come down, to be disillusioned with those false things, is actually a really good thing, all right? So you're more than you appear to yourself and to others. And at the risk of fueling some kind of soulish delusion of grandeur, let me just say to you that in the spirit, you're magnificent. You're magnificent. You're glorious. And some might argue that God would not share his glory with another, right? And I would say that you're not another. It brings me to this third gem, this emerald. You are united with Christ. Heaven is your home. You're more than you appear. You are united with Christ. Central to everything here is the truth that the rescue is found in a relationship with Jesus. If we abide in Christ, and if Christ abides in us, in other words, if we remain united with Christ in our private lives, not simply the public church life, but the life that God wants to have with us in the secret place, then what will take place is life will actually flourish all around us. You need to know this. I mean, John 15 reminds us of this, that if we abide in Christ and Christ in us, then we'll bear much fruit, fruit that remains. And so we have this invitation in the abiding place to just let life flourish all around us and let fruitfulness happen. And so that comes from reminding ourselves and living as though we're united with Christ. So the union we have with Christ takes our striving to make something of our lives, and it creatively causes a garden to grow all around us. The third precious stone in this necklace is the emerald. You are united with Christ. The fourth gem that I want to talk about, the topaz, the fourth precious stone in this necklace, you are free. I'm going to read three passages of scripture here. John 8:36. If the Son, that's Jesus, sets you free, then you are free through and through. So if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Galatians 5:1. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And then Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. So condemnation here is a Greek word, katakrima. And what it means is damnatory sentence. Bam. Damnatory sentence. So this is the rescue, right? We have lost our way. We were deserving of punishment. But the Father's love made a way for us to rescue this damnatory sentence, the sentence of death. And so this is what Christ has set us free from sin and death. And the life of Jesus given to us on the cross is the restitution that was needed to pay for our freedom from this prison of sin that leads us to death. It's really a beautiful reminder for us, isn't it? I mean, some of us have been walking with the Lord for decades. We know this as the gospel truth that Jesus has made a way for us. Let it become a gem that you adorn yourself with. The cross of Christ is enough. Jesus paid the price so that I can live in freedom. The relationship that we now have through the Spirit of Christ is the power to live in that freedom. So continuing in Romans 8, verse 3, it's a lengthy passage here. I think you'll be able to stick with me on this. If you're following along, be great. For what the law could not do, let me rephrase that. For what striving in human effort could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did it, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, back to Jim 1, but those who are living according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. You are free. And you live most freely when your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. And so that brings us to our fifth precious stone, the amethyst. You're not only free, but you're empowered. You are empowered. As one who has been united with Christ, the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. You're empowered not only to do great exploits for God. I mean, I remember when I was young. I mean, we had this conversation on Thursday where we're talking about zeal and we're talking about like responding to all these needs and just being celebrated for just pouring your life out in a way that was, it had no boundaries. It was just like, the motivation behind that for me personally was I felt validated because people needed me. And so here we are, you know, we have these ideas where we want to do great exploits for God, but check the motive. Because what you're really empowered to do, honestly, is to live as you were intended to live. Like you were your intended self, as Chris puts it. I love that. It's like, live according to who God has created you to be. And guess what? By virtue of you, quote, being yourself, not the illusion, but the real, your life is fulfilled and fruitful and magnificently glorious. So back to Romans 8, verse 11. Go ahead and go there with me, because I'm going to end our time by really navigating through Romans 8 for a few verses here. 11, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So I'm not making this up. It's what the Scripture's telling us. Verse 12. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You're free from that. All right? Verse 14. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. There's the thread. And it comes back to this place of we are led by the Spirit. We're spiritual people. Verse 15. So you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. People don't just make up these songs that we sing. They come out of the Word of God. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call to Him, Abba, Father, Papa. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of what? Of God's glory. So it's okay for me to say that God would share His glory with you because you are a co-heir with Christ Jesus. You're not another. You're family. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. So our feet are on the ground. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. I got a glimpse of it. Verse 23. We believers also groan, after talking about the earth groaning, in eager anticipation for the revealing of the sons of God, so that the earth itself, all of creation, would enter into the freedom that we as sons and daughters experience. Verse 23, but we also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. Monette is longing for her body to be released from suffering, from the effects of decay, the law of entropy that sin brought into this world. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children, including the new bodies that He has promised us. Verse 24. We were given this hope when we were saved. The rescue, the clasp that holds this together, this brought hope to us. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something that we don't have yet, then we must wait patiently and confidently. Can we adorn ourselves with this? These five precious stones held together by the love of the Father, clasped in a way that assures us that this is our inheritance, the rescue of Jesus. In this way, we think on things above. In this way, we recognize that we're more than we appear. In this way, we remind ourselves that we're really united with Christ, that we really are set free, and that we are empowered to live in newness of life. This is our hope. I wanted to share that with you because this is how God adorns His people. And so with that, I'm just hoping that some real truth nugget lands in a good place and takes root and bears much fruit. So if you'd stand with me, I'm going to just pray a blessing over you with this. In so many ways, God, this was the gospel of Jesus unpacked for us in a way that's symbolic, in a way that's founded in Scripture, in a way that's sometimes hard for us to believe. So I pray right now that faith would arise and that we would receive all of this as the truth. And I pray that it would do a thorough job of combating any diminishment, that it would do a thorough job of putting a chokehold on any lie that would want to rise up and keep us in some weird illusion about ourselves or about you. I pray that we would be okay with some disillusionment, that there would be like this, a little bit of this disruption that could happen for us, that we could trust because our friend is doing it for us, Jesus. And I pray that you would lead us into truth, and we know that truth sets us free. So if there's any old tape, any old pattern of thinking, any old way that wants to keep us bound, I just pray that the truth would shine in so bright and so powerfully that it would be second nature for us to let any unbelief, any false belief go. It'd just be easy in exchange for the truth. So God, you're really about this. Jesus, you're really about this work. Thank you for that. Thank you for your commitment to us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for just your relentless pursuit of our hearts. Thank you that you so want us to live in the fullness of how you've created us, that you would stop at nothing. You would even allow some disruption and even some suffering to usher us into a deeper place of freedom. So God, help us volunteer for that. Help us with your grace to step into it and to ask for it. Help us come into this so that we can live as you've intended for us to live. And as your word said in Romans 8, your spirit testifies with our spirit who we really are. So I just pray a blessing now on each of you, that the Spirit of truth would reveal the truth to your heart about who you really are. And I pray that you would be blessed and full of hope, and that joy would arise. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.